For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, November 26, 1993. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook of Tulsa, Oklahoma, is the speaker of the evening.
Hallelujah.
Week from tomorrow, he's going over to England to minister for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little opposition when he was over there a few weeks back, a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's going back over there again, and we want to pray against that and break that.
Amen.
Break that opposition that rose up against the ministry, and I want us to lay hands on him and pray.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Oh, yes.
Misunderstanding.
We loosen
fire.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Father,
let my mind be fire. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord.
And Lord Jesus, you've already conquered this.
Amen.
Let him go in freedom.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my Lord God. Yes, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Well, let's praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we thank you again tonight for your love and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we're all missionaries. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that we're all called to share the gospel with somebody. And Father, we bless you tonight and we thank you for this word. This word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our pathway. And the very entrance of your word gives light for your light. And you said, in light we'd see light. And so, Lord, open the light up to us tonight of your word. Shine upon us, we pray. And let us see Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, brother. I thought you had it. Come on, obey the Lord. Praise the Lord.
It's a scripture that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Amen. Amen.
And all those who rise up against you are going to fall.
Hallelujah.
And I just felt that my spirit.
Good. Good. Thank you, Robert. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, they were sweet people, most of them. Also, we have a little book back there on the rapture, the pre-tribulation. Mine's called Who Said Rapture? If you'd like to pick that up, too. Glenn was talking about that a while ago. We went to Czechoslovakia, and I shared part of that book there, and they were very fearful of that teaching. In fact, while I was preaching, I saw them talking and you know, making signs, some of the men from the outside of the fellowship, and they come against us in Czechoslovakia over that, and in fact, they caused us to stop praying for some of the people, and I thought they was going to kick us out, but God gave us favor, and he moved in spite of the opposition. How many know God's greater than all opposition?
Amen.
Amen. So part of that little book came out of Czechoslovakia as we preached there, so if you want to pick it up tonight, it's on a free will offering basis only. Praise the Lord. How many believe we need more love?
Amen.
Well, I'm going to share just a few things, but I'm not going to preach on that hopefully tonight. I'm going to touch on it. I want to tell you seven things that love is, first of all. How many know that love is personal? It's to you as an individual and to us corporately. Let's turn to Jeremiah. I just feel to share a couple things here, and then we'll go into the message. And have you enjoyed Brother Tromley's ministry last night and this morning? I didn't get to hear it last night, but I enjoyed this morning. And I enjoyed Brother Doc's message this afternoon. That's the best I ever heard Doc teach. He taught some good words here, but I tell you, that was a good word this afternoon. How many heard that this afternoon? How many got some deliverance? Praise the Lord. And Robert will bless you tomorrow night. How many know the musics are blessed tremendously? And Bill's been a blessing. The musicians, the singers, and Glenn and Irma is always a blessing. And how many know that without you being here, we'd be preaching to the wall, most of us. Isn't that right? So we thank you for coming. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 and read a scripture together. here on love. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Now, before we read it, though, I said love is to the individual, it's personal. Number two, I want to say that love is everlasting. And three, love draws you and I to Him. How many believe that? Now look at the scripture in verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me. You know, if God says something to us today, He's probably said it to somebody way back there. He said, of old the Lord hath appeared to me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Notice, love thee, Jeremiah, with an everlasting love. Therefore, because of that, with loving kindness have I, the Lord, drawn thee. So love is personal, it's everlasting, and it draws us to Him. Still does that today, doesn't it? Something else it does. You know, love precedes time. Look in Ephesians 1. And remember, this is not the message. It's a message, all right. It's a message that needs to be preached. Come on, Ephesians chapter 1. You got some fingers tonight? You're going to need them. Ephesians 1, 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in what?
Love.
God predestined, God chose a people before the foundation of the world to walk before Him in love. Hallelujah. How many want to be one of them?
Amen.
How many need some more love tonight?
Amen.
You start preaching on it, you'll need a lot more of it because you're going to be tested. Come on. Now, turn to the Song of Solomon. I want to give you two other scriptures here. Song of Solomon, right before Isaiah. Just turn over there. Look in chapter 8. Chapter 8. You know, just because you preach on it don't mean you got it all. You need a whole lot more of it. Isn't that right? Chapter 8 of the Song of Solomon. It says here in verse 7, I believe it is. Praise you, Jesus. No, verse 6, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as a grave, and so forth. Verse 7, many waters cannot quench love. That's tribulation. Come on, that's trials, that's afflictions, whatever. Neither can the floods drown it. But notice the statement in verse 6. Love is strong as death. How many know that death is irresistible? When death comes your way, when it finally comes your way, how many know you can't say, now hold off, death, you just wait a month or two. Now, I know we have power over the enemy, but how many know somewhere down the line, until Jesus comes, people's going to die. Isn't that right? And we know that death is irresistible, but so is love. It's strong as death. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus died, how many know He conquered hell, death, and the grave? And He proved that it was stronger than death. Can you say amen? And how many know that love is a person? God is. Come on.
Love.
How many believe that tonight? God is love. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus is the Son of love, isn't He? Well, how many know He's raising up some more sons in this hour? Sons of God. Sons of love. Praise the Lord. Lastly, it edifies. Love edifies. That's 1 Corinthians 8. Verse 1. Now let's go to the message tonight. Turn with me to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Let me know there was a church that had left their first love. What would He say to us tonight? You know, He said you hate evil. He said that you can judge those who say they're apostles and are not. But yet He said you have left your first love. And He told them to repent from whence they had fallen. Or He said, I'm going to come and remove your lampstand or candlestick out of its place. He was going to judge, and He did judge that church. How many know He's going to judge in this hour? Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now look in Revelation 17. Are you there?
Yeah.
Here we're dealing with the ten kings, the beast, in the end of the age. And they're making war with the Lamb. But look in verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. Now, we know the Lamb's in heaven, but how many know the Lamb's in our heart tonight?
Amen.
And if they make war with the Lamb, that means you're going to be in this warfare. How many believe there's a warfare going on in some places?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Now, notice. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with Him. How many want to be with Him?
Amen.
They that are with him, Jesus, the Lamb, are called, come on, help me now, chosen, and they're faithful. Outer court, holy place, holy of holies. 30, 60, 100. They're the called of God, the chosen of God, the faithful. The word chosen there means the elect of God. And Glenn was right. The elect of God in Matthew 24 are still here when Jesus comes. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. But notice the last one, the faithful. Those are called, he said, those that are chosen, and those that are faithful. How many know God didn't have too many faithful people? Paul addresses the church at Ephesus and Colossians and said to the saints and to the faithful. We have a lot of saints, but not all saints are faithful. God wants you and I to be faithful, not to a system, to an organization, but unto him. He wants us to be faithful. Can you say amen? Now look here. Look at these words. Now notice. Verse 14 again. He said, those that are with him are called, chosen, faithful. Now look in Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion. That word Zion means the church, militant and triumphant. God's got an army that will not bend, bow, or budge to any enemy. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, notice, and with him, 140, come on, and 4,000. I teach that a symbolical number, not a literal number. You may see it different, that's all right. Having his father's name or nature written in their foreheads. Hallelujah. How many know these are his sons? Same as Revelation 17. Now look in Revelation 20. Same people in all three places. Same people, same overcomers. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given to them. That's exactly what Daniel said. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Can I tell you, there's going to be people still die for the Lord. And they are. That's right. Praise the Lord. Now, look at the next verse. What verse are we in here? Four. Okay. And notice, which have not worshipped. Well, let's go back a ways. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which have not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and they reigned with Christ. How long?
A thousand years.
But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is something. First resurrection. Blessed, holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection on such the second death, which is the lake of fire, right? Hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall, look at this, reign with him. Come on. 1,000 years. So Revelation 17, there's a people with him that's called, come on, chosen, and are faithful. Revelation 14, the 144,000, the army of God standing with Jesus, the Lamb on Mount Zion, they're with him. And here in Revelation 20, there is a people right here that's called blessed and holy, and they're the priest of God. They're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he wants you and I to be faithful. Can you say amen? Now turn to Proverbs chapter 11. I preached along this line in Jacksonville, Illinois, but the Lord spoke yesterday to my heart to share some of these things again. For some reason, I don't know. But God knows. Amen? I had not planned on doing that. But in Proverbs 11, no, it was the day before yesterday he spoke. 11:13. Listen to what it says. A talebearer. You ever met one? Have you ever been one? A talebearer revealeth secrets. I mean, oh, God needs to set a watch over all of our mouths. And that coal of fire still burns, doesn't it? But he that is of a faithful spirit sealeth or hides the matter. Now, God wants us to not accuse. Come on. Or to be a gossiper. I mean, no, we all need to repent of it. You're talking about deliverance. We all need some deliverance in this area. I mean, no, there's a busybody. Come on. There's a whisper. Come on. There's the diabolos, the slanderer, the discord, the one who sows discord among brethren, and the talebearer. And yet God said a talebearer reveals secrets. Can we keep a secret? But he that is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Luke in 12:23 talks about concealing something else here. 12:23, a prudent man concealeth knowledge. How many know it's good to not spout off everything you know at once? You know, in the Song of Solomon, the little maid, she's doing all the talking at first. But as she matures and grows, she shuts up and lets him do most of the talking. How many know we can learn a lesson from all of that? How many has ever been a motor mouth besides me? Come on, don't shout me down. It's true. Turn to... I'm going to skip that. Turn to Psalms 31:23. And it says this, O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth somebody. 31:23. O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. Well, what if you're not faithful? You'll not be preserved. Come on, help me now. Amen. What do you do when you preserve food? How many know you got to have a hot jar? And a lot of water. And you got to seal something in and seal something out. Isn't that right? And God wants to seal us. God wants to preserve us as we're faithful unto him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Now turn over to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 101. And look at verse 6. 101:6. And it says this, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lamb. How many know that he's looking for that one that's got that perfect heart and his eyes are watching over him? 2 Chronicles 16 tells us. But mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the Lamb, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. So God's eyes are over the faithful. Praise the Lord. Then we go to Proverbs 14. Chapter 14 of Proverbs and verse 5. It says, a faithful witness will not lie. How many know lying still of the devil? How many know that Jesus was a faithful witness? Revelation 3:14, Revelation 1:5 tells us he was the faithful witness. He was the faithful martyr. And God has his faithful witnesses even today. Can you say amen? Amen. Then we go to Proverbs chapter 25:13. And it says this in chapter 25 and verse 13, if that's the right scripture. Hallelujah. 25:13, as the coal of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For here's what he does. Here's this faithful messenger. He refreshes the soul of his master. There's a refreshing. He brings a refreshing or refreshness from the Lord. Now, if you turn over just a minute to chapter 22, let's look at this here in chapter 22 in verse 20. You ever realize why God speaks in threes? Like a while ago, the called, chosen, faithful. Right here he tells us. Have not I written to thee excellent things? And that word excellent means threefold things. It's in the Hebrews. You look it up. Have not I written to you threefold things or excellent things in counsels and knowledge? That, here's why, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth. God speaks in truth. That we might know the words of truth. Now, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. God speaks in threes. Can you say amen? Now turn to one other scripture, chapter 13 of Proverbs, verse 17. The faithful one brings healing. He becomes health, rather I should say, health or medicine or healing or deliverance. Chapter 13, verse 17. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. See, or medicine or deliverance. It means wholesome, sound, remedy. It means a lot of things. How many believe that God sent people your way at times?
Amen.
For your health, for your healing. Come on, your deliverance. Sure he has. Thank God for that. How many believe that? Now look in Proverbs 28, verse 20. 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You want blessings? Be faithful to God. Hallelujah. You'll get them. You don't have to pray. They'll come automatic. Amen? But he that maketh haste to be rich shall be not innocent. I mean, a lot of these rich games even get in the church. People want to get rich overnight. You better avoid them. Leave them alone. How many know if God wants to make you rich, he can make you rich. You don't need some game. God can do it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We don't have to go that route. Don't have to go that route. Now, let's go to Matthew 24. I want to go there. And I want to touch on a scripture concerning a people at the end of the age, which are to be faithful or not be faithful. Matthew 24, Jesus is asking a question in verse 45. Well, let's go back to verse 44. Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. How many believe that Jesus will come again?
Amen.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he's not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and upon him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I mean, oh, that's a strong word. Strong word. Now notice he talks about here the faithful and wise servant, or the faithful steward, Luke 12 tells us. It says that he made him Lord over his household. Thirdly, it said he was to give the meat in due season. I mean, God wants us to mature. And God has servants dishing out the meat. Amen. Or their portion. He said, blessed is that servant when he cometh, he shall find so doing. He's looking for a faithful servant, isn't he? He'll make him ruler over all his goods, or another scripture says, over all that he hath in Luke 12. Now, first of all, we see something here. This man is not looking for the coming of Jesus. Something had come into his heart. He lost his expectancy. Can I tell you, there are Christians that's lost their expectancy. They're no longer excited about the Lord and what God's doing. I mean, if you lose that, you lose everything.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look in Titus just a minute with me. Turn over to Titus, and I'll come right back here. But turn to Titus, and brethren, I want to encourage you, do not lose your expectancy. Chapter 2 of Titus, in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and something else. I mean, that word and is a connecting word there. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Looking, that's an expectancy, isn't it? He's coming within. He's coming without. I mean, there's a people that must be like Jesus right before he comes. Come on. Hallelujah. And you and I must do something about it. 1 Peter 1:22 tells you that. There's a work of sanctification has to take place in all of us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said it's a blessed hope. That's what he's saying here. Looking for that blessed hope. What is our blessed hope? Our blessed hope, I believe, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus and to be like him when he appears. I mean, it was Christ in us, the hope of glory. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. Come on. When he shall appear, we shall be like him. For every man is looking for what? The hope, right? Look in 1 John 3. I'm about to quote it wrong. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. The word sons is technon. It means the child. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall what?
Appear.
We shall be like him, come on, for we shall see him as he is, and every man that hath this hope where? In him. Purify himself, even as he is pure. Hallelujah. How many want to be like Jesus? Amen. I want to be like Jesus, but I know he has to do a work in me and in you. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Now, let's go back to our scripture in Matthew. We see, first of all, he loses his desire for the coming of the Lord, or his expectancy. There is no awareness, so to speak. Now, it did not say he did not believe in his coming. It did not say that at all. Now, he's not aware of his coming. He's not looking for his coming. And the Bible said that he was saying in his heart, the Lord delays his coming. Now, probably he believed in the coming of the Lord, but he was saying God is going to delay his coming. You know, there's a lot of people think like that. How many believe that he will come again literally from heaven? Do you believe that? Amen. But the man lost his expectancy. He lost that awareness, so to speak. Now, what did this man begin to do? This man began to beat others. How many old preachers can beat you? How many has ever been beaten? Ezekiel said, by force, come on, and cruelty, they rule over God's people, the shepherds. How many know there's no place to beat people in the body of Christ? No place. No local church. Come on, any place. We cannot be a beater. He stopped being a feeder, and he became a beater. Shepherds must feed, not beat the people. Amen? Even if they disagree. People are going to disagree with you a lot. Amen? Now, notice something. The friends he began to run with in verse 49. It says he began to not only smite or beat the fellow servants, but he began to eat and drink with the drunken. Let me know that we're affected by the crowd we run with. Let me tell you how it affects us. It affects you many ways, but I'm just going to give you two. It will affect your doctrine and will affect your behavior. Isn't that right? It can affect your doctrine, what you believe, and your behavior. You get with the wrong crowd. Let me know then, look in Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the what?
Ark.
And then this man, it says, he began to eat and drink with the drunken. He began to flow and move with the Noah crowd. And it began to affect him. And he began to beat the people of God that he once fed. Something had happened, come on, in this man's heart. How many old things can happen in your heart and in my heart if we're not careful? Isn't that right? How many know we all need to take a good inventory within and judge ourselves? If we judge ourselves, come on, we shall not be judged. Why are some people taken out prematurely? Because they will not judge themselves. And that's the reason Paul says some are weak, some are sick, come on, and some have even slept or are in death. Amen? Now, notice what it says here. In verse 51, it said what Jesus is going to do, and shall cut him asunder upon him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Turn to Matthew 23. Now, notice in Matthew 23, several times, six or seven times, the word hypocrite is used. Now, Jesus said he's going to be appointed his portion with the hypocrites. So let's see what hypocrite is. In verse 13, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So they're standing in the way of somebody entering the kingdom. That's a hypocrite. Verse 14. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayer, Therefore, you shall receive the greater damnation or condemnation. How many get tired of all the money pleaders that we have on television and radio? How many know there's a Canaanite spirit in the church? Hold your place, look in Zechariah, the last chapter of Zechariah, the very last chapter. And I get tired of those pleaders and beggars. Chapter 14. How many know if God's called you to a minister at your work, He'll supply the need. Chapter 14, 21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. Now notice, and in that day there shall be no more. Somebody say no more. The Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. That word Canaanite means a peddler, trafficker, merchant. And you know Jesus needs to come to the church again and clean house with a little rope. I mean, no, He's going to clean house through you and through I as we allow God to clean us up. Come on, somebody say amen. The church needs clean. Amen. And we need a house cleaning. And God's going to clean out the merchandisers. Come on, those that want to rip the people of God off in so many ways that they've done and are doing. It's time for the people of God to wake up. Come on. And we need to watch where we put our money. Can you say amen? And I have said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I do not put my money in anything except it be the kingdom of God. Amen. Read Luke 8 sometime. You'll find out. Praise the Lord. We need a guard where we put our finances. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, so we go back to this man in chapter 24. He becomes a beater, not a feeder. And he's with the hypocrites. There's so much there in chapter 23 about the hypocrites, yet we didn't even go into. They look beautiful outwardly, but inwardly, they're like dead men's bones. How many know death has set in on the church? Sure has. I've been in some there. They're like a morgue. You've been in some that, you know, there's such joy and love and God's flowing, God's moving. But others are just like a morgue. And once you walk in, you're ready to go back out and go somewhere else. Come on, somebody say amen. How many know there's a lot of love in this camp meeting? There's a lot of love here in this camp meeting. I really felt the presence of God and the love of God here. Haven't you? Thank God. So don't lose that love, brethren, you and I, either one of us. Now, he becomes something. Luke 12 tells us not only did he get his portion with the hypocrites, but Luke 12 says he gets his portion with the unbeliever. Now look in Revelation 21. Look in Revelation 21. Let's see the unbeliever here. Chapter 21, verse 8. 21:8 of Revelation. It says this. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Notice the crowd he's with, because he's an unbeliever. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So he's going to go right into the lake of fire, bar none, with the unbelievers. And I want to tell you, once they go there, how many know there's no coming out? Ultimate reconciliation is not of God. I've said it here once before, but I want to say it again. It is not of God. That's all I have to say. It is not of God. It's a wicked doctrine of the devil. Somebody say amen. Amen. Now, this man is no longer walking in the Spirit. I mean, if you're walking in the Spirit, there's an expectancy in your heart. Come on. Of Jesus coming within you as well as out there. Look in Revelation 22. Brother Tromley touched on it this morning. Revelation 22. Verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Now, John was in the Spirit when he heard these words and that was given to him. And yet the Lord said, I come quickly. And yet we know it has not happened. It's been 2,000 years. But how many know there's no time or space in the Spirit, so to speak? And John was projected into the 20th century. He was a man ahead of his time. And he heard those words. But when you're in the Spirit, there is an expectancy. There is a yearning, a desiring for the Lord to come. Not only within, but even in the air. Somebody say amen. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Well, I'm going to get it. Well, he's going to bring it with him. You got a problem there. He said he's going to bring his reward with him when he comes. Amen. To give every man according to his work as it shall be. Then in verse, 20? Surely, I come quickly. Now, when you're out of the Spirit, how many know we can put us coming off for hundreds of years? But when you live in the Spirit daily, you have that expectancy of His not only inward coming, but literal coming from heaven. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So this man begins to do some things. Now, notice he's a beater. He begins to beat the people of God, as we said, when we're going to reap what we sow. But what happened to him? He was beaten with many stripes. If we beat others, how many know that it comes back? Come on. Whether in this life or the next life. Amen. Now, again, there's no place of force and cruelty in the body of Christ. There's no place for intimidation. Come on. Manipulation, domination, witchcraft, control. And yet, there's a lot of it in the body. How many know we all need to judge our own hearts in those areas? Can you say amen? Every one of us. Now, the Bible said this man knew his Lord's will. Do we know His will for our life? Do we know what God has called us to do? He knew the Lord's will. It talks about it in Luke. But you know what it says? It said he prepared not himself. One thing to know, but it's another thing to get prepared. God wants you and I to prepare for what's ahead. Amen? Amen. Then he didn't do his will, and he's going to be beaten with many stripes. Much that's given, much is required. Let me believe that tonight. I believe that. It is true. It is true. Now, praise God. We'll talk on some other things here now. Let's turn to Revelation. No, I want to go to Psalms 50. I think that's where we'll go first. Psalms 50. Now, I want to give you three scriptures. I don't want to show you the faithful that God gave me today. It doesn't necessarily say faithful, but I want to show you three scriptures that we're dealing with some faithful ones in the Lord. Psalms 50. Look at verse 5. Gather my saints together unto me. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. It doesn't use the words faithful in that verse. But notice, first of all, gather. Let me know there's a lot of things scattered in the church. There's things in your life and my life that are scattered. God wants to gather up the pieces and put it together. Now, notice here, he said, gather my saints together. It's a command that the saints gather together. And yet we have lone rangers that say we don't need the body. I mean, oh, that's dangerous thinking. It is. And I don't want to be around that kind of people. I want to be with the body myself. Where are you going to find Jesus? Outside the body or with the body? With the body. Remember the man that was healed in his right mind over in the scriptures? He wanted to be with Jesus. And Jesus told him to go back and, you know, testify of him, whatever. But where's Jesus? He's in the body. He's among you and I. If you want to be with Jesus, you find the body, you'll find Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So he said, gather my saints together. That's a command. And notice he said it's my saints. How many know we don't belong to any man? Or any organization. We belong to Jesus. That means the saint of Jesus. Amen. My sanctified ones. My godly ones. Look in Psalms 4. Let's look at this word. God. The word God and the word saints, the same word here in the Old Testament. Some of these scriptures. Psalms 4. Look in verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart. Sanctified him. That is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Two things. You've been set apart for the Lord, and God will hear you when you cry, when you call, when you cry unto him, when you call out. Now look at back to verse 1 here. Don't leave out verse 1. What's going to get us in that place? Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me. When I was in distress, how many's been there lately? Well, if you're going on for God, you've been there, I can tell you. Amen. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Well, God will hear the prayer of the godly because we're set aside for Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Now look in Psalms 12:1, just a minute. Psalms 12:1. I'm coming back to 50 here in just a minute. Psalms 12:1. And notice here, help. You ever cried that? Lord? My, my, my. Help, Lord. Why? For the godly man ceaseth. For the faithful fail from among the children of men. No more faithful ones. They're being taken out or whatever. God wants us to be faithful. The godly man is ceasing, but he said, and the faithful are failing among the children of men. I mean, oh, God takes some people out. Look in Isaiah 58. I know people are taking it for various reasons. We don't know all the reasons. But this has been a comforting scripture to give certain people at time. In verse chapter 57, verse 1. Chapter 57, verse 1. How many know that some people just die? You know, Paul left one man named Trophimus sick in a certain place and he wasn't healed. You know, Elisha, the double portion man, got sick and died. Explain that. Well, there's a lot of people get healed. Isn't that right? Chapter 57, verse 1. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And notice, merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. God knows when to take somebody out or allow them to die, whatever you want to say. Amen? I remember he told me one night I was coming back from Muskogee to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and God said, your brother Gene will be saved. He didn't tell me how or when or what. 2 years later, he died with a condition in his blood and a lung condition as well. But he accepted Jesus before he died. I mean, God doesn't always tell you everything when he speaks to you. Amen? You know, one man, I remember, God spoke to him, said, there's great tribulation coming in the earth. Another man, God spoke, there's coming a great revival. Well, how many know they're both truths? Let me tell you, the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit will be when there's the greatest tribulation here on the earth.
Amen. That's right.
In fact, it will not come until there is the great tribulation coming.
Amen.
If you know your Bible. How many know we're coming up to that somewhere up in that area? God knows the timing. Now, back in Psalms 50, he said something. Gather my saints together unto me. Unto me. Notice. Those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Hallelujah. How many know you can be together and not be together?
That's right.
Or you can come together and not be together. How you want to say it? God said these saints, these godly ones, have made a covenant. They're in league, contract with me. Hallelujah. With the Lord, not some machine or something out here. People are worshiping a machine and not God. Somebody say amen. And he said by sacrifice. I mean, no, basically the three, we'll say basic sacrifices in the New Testament. Giving your body to God, your finances to God, and your praise. God wants you and I to gather together. There's been a lot of disassembling, but God wants us to assemble, to gather together, be together, and unto the Lord, make a covenant of sacrifice unto God in those areas of our lives. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to give you another scripture. There's another scripture I want to give you. Turn over with me to Malachi. No, go to Psalms. 119. 119. I'll get there. Hang on. Psalms 119. Here are God's faithful, I believe, in the first three verses. He said, blessed are to be envied, prosperous, happy, or fortunate, are the undefiled in the way. Now, in Revelation 14, that army of God were undefiled. How many know that their ways were defiled? By sexual sins, by the occult, getting with the wrong crowd, there's many ways. But he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law, the word of God, of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him. Come on, help me. With the whole heart, not just fourth or half, but all of you, all of me. And notice, seeking with the whole heart. Hold your place. Turn to Proverbs 8. Chapter 8 of Proverbs. Verse 34. We're coming back there in just a second. Verse 34 of chapter 8 of Proverbs. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, for whoso findeth life. How many want life tonight? Proverbs? For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. He wins approval of the Lord, doesn't he? Those that find life. Okay, back in Psalms 119, he said here that we're to seek him with the whole heart. Now, if we seek Jesus with the whole heart, how many know we are going to find Jesus? He'll show up. Now, look at the next verse. We're talking about the undefiled that walk in the ways of the law of God, that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. Then he said, they also do no iniquity. Or we would say today, lawlessness or rebellion. How many know God has purged them from that? Yeah. And as Doc said today, that scripture, especially there in 1 Samuel 15:23, the word rebellion means bitterness. But he said, they shall do no iniquity. They walk, come on, in his ways. What are the ways of God? Turn to Deuteronomy and hold your place there. Deuteronomy 32. Told you you're going to need your fingers. 32:4 of Deuteronomy. He is the rock. Do you believe that tonight? His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. If you walk in the ways of God, how many know you'll start judging yourself and so will I. Or will be judged. A God of truth without iniquity, just and right. Look in Daniel 4:37. Daniel 4:37. Hallelujah. Daniel 4:37. Here it is again, right here in this scripture. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. Well, he did after what he went through. All whose works are truth and his ways judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to what? To obey. All right? Go back now to our scripture. Go back to our scripture there in 119. I want to show you something else. He said, they, in verse 3, they also do no iniquity, right? They walk in his judgment or ways. All right, now, notice, no iniquity. Now, turn to Micah. Turn to Micah. It's real easy scripture to find. Hallelujah. And then we're going to Luke in just a minute and finish up some things. On the faithful. Micah 4. How many want to be faithful? Verse 6. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her. Now notice, her that halteth, or the lame. How many know God can break your legs? Spiritually, I'm talking about, not physically. How many know God can stop you and I right in our tracks anytime he wants to get our attention? How many know that's happened in your life and my life at times? In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her, come on, that halteth, comes to stop, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have, come on, afflicted. And notice the word driven out. How many know God has driver's license? He knows where he's going. We don't always, but he does. Huh? And so he said, the one that will assemble themselves and it will come to a stop. How many know that you better stop on a red light? The train may be coming down the track. And he said, I will gather those that have been driven out of situations, out of their thing, into what I want them to get into. Those that I've afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant. God has truly a remnant that's going to be faithful. You believe that? And her that was cast far off, notice, a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them. Luke 19, there's a people said he'll not reign over us. But here he said there's a people, listen, who have been assembled, who have come to a stop, who have been driven out of their plans into God's plans, who have been afflicted. They are the remnant of God, the strong nation of God, and God said, they're saying, hallelujah, the Lord is going to reign over them. Verse 8, and thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughters of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even what? The first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughters of Zion, of Jerusalem. And that word dominion means government. How many know God has a people that's going to submit to his government? And we need the government of God in our lives. Somebody say amen. God has put apostles, come on, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists in the church to equip the body of Christ, to bring them to perfection or maturity. Amen? Thank God for the ministry. This is the apostle. This is the prophet. This is the evangelist. This is the shepherd, the ring finger. There's a vein that goes from this finger into the heart. How many know that the qualification of a shepherd is not here in the head? It's got to be here in the heart.
Amen.
And that little finger is a teacher that can get in your ear and get the wax out. Hallelujah. Amen. Or said another way, I've said it before here, the apostle governs, the prophet guides, the shepherd gathers, the evangelist gathers, the shepherd guards, and the teacher grinds. So we're grinding tonight. Hallelujah. We need to hear the anointed men and women of God who God has raised up in this hour. Apostles, prophets, teachers, shepherds, and evangelists. And that's why I like Lake Hamilton. They bring in ministries. All five come to Lake Hamilton. You cannot get that every place you go. Thank God. Amen. Now, let me give an Old Testament scripture, then we go to Luke. Turn to Malachi. I want to show you the faithful in Malachi. It doesn't say faithful, but I know they're the faithful ones. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi, chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord, reverential fear of God, spake often one to another. There's fellowship. Amen? They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. How many know when people start turning from God, they quit talking to you? I've had people leave the fellowship at times that I felt we were close. They were, God had placed them in the place where they were. And yet they have cut themselves off at times just like you were their enemy. How many know that's wrong?
Yes.
Even if people leave, let them leave in the right spirit. But we're not to cut ourselves off from brethren. Can you say amen? We're not to live that kind of life. But notice, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord eavesdropped, didn't he? He hearkened. How many believe he listens to what we say to one another? He not only listens, he records it and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought. Where's our thinking tonight? Those that thought upon his name, his nature. You know, brethren, there is that quick work at times God does in us. Says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by, come on, the Holy Ghost which is given to us. And God does that many times. That power, that anointing comes upon us up, and we just feel that love just surging within us. But how many know that a lot of times, though, it's just day by day trucking it out. Come on, little by little. You know, sometimes it gets tough in the flesh, doesn't it? I said in the flesh. But God's still doing a work in us. Whether it's supernatural, you know, or just day by day, God's doing it. As we submit to the Word, amen, that love is made perfect in us. And as Doc said today, you know, fear has torment. Fear has torment. And the Bible said they have not been perfected in love, those that have fear or torment. Now, go to Luke 16. I want to end with this scripture tonight. I think it's worth looking at. Luke 16. And I want to look down. Jesus is talking about a steward. Remember that man in Matthew 24 was a unfaithful steward or servant of the Lord. You got two kinds, either faithful or unfaithful. Now, but come down to verse 10. If you got your Bible, I want you to read verse 10 with me. We're going to read these three verses and I'm going to touch on them. We're going to close. Verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, that's good. We'll read the other in just a minute. But I want you to notice that verse. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the much. Amen? God, just give me a big responsibility. And I'll show you, God, how faithful I am and can be. And I hear God's response, no, I'll test you in the small things. Come on. And if you're faithful in the small things, then I know that I can trust you, come on, in the greater things. Amen? How many know God thinks a lot different than we think sometimes? Amen. You know, the condition is obedience in small things as well as in great things. Isn't that right? For the small things, now listen to this, the small things are just as great in the eyes of God as the great things. How many believe that? Amen. If you wait to be faithful, and I wait to be faithful, in the great, your opportunity will never, never come. Did you hear that? I'm going to say it again. If you wait to be faithful in the great or the much, your opportunity will never come. Hallelujah. God will test you in the small things. Mm-hmm. And He'll test you when you don't even know that He's testing you. Come on, somebody say amen. He doesn't hang a sign out and say, okay, Tommy, you're going through a test 6 weeks. He didn't do that, does he? I wish he would sometimes. So I know. Amen. How many know it's the faithful that's going to be promoted? Psalms 45, Psalm 75 says that promotion comes not from the east, the west, or the south. How many know he dwells on the sides of the north? Amen. Now look at Luke 16:11. Read it with me. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? I want to read it again. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, if we're not faithful in money, and that's something I hardly ever say anything about, but if we're not faithful in money, how many know we'll not be faithful in true spiritual riches? The way that we handle our money is a test. How you will handle spiritual riches. You believe that? And Christians who are not faithful in money matters are not going to be faithful in spiritual ministry. It's Bible, right there. Amen? Christians who have money problems, and believe me, many do. I find Christians who don't even tithe any longer. I don't understand that. Dear Lord. I mean, no, we need to give to God in the right place as God speaks to each one of us. Come on, help me. But Christians who have money problems, and I'm talking about dishonesty, underhanded deals, unrighteous deals in finances. I'm convinced of something. Hallelujah. That there's more there. There's spiritual problems, doctrinal problems, moral problems even there. I mean, no, God wants us to be honest. Amen. And the way we handle money determines if God will commit to your trust spiritual riches. Amen? How many is on top this year already with your tithes with God? Raise your hand. You paid up, your tithes are paid up to God what you've earned so far this year. Just your tithes, not your offerings, your tithes. Praise the Lord. How many know that we need to be conscious of what we're doing with our money? Come on. Getting quiet in here, isn't it? It's all right. Let it get quiet. How many know where to give to God? We're not to back up on it. Now, money does not matter, people say. Show me that in the Bible. Money means a great deal. Amen? Sure does. You see, sometimes we talk different in church than we do when we get outside the church. Can somebody say amen? We have to administer it rightly now. In fact, we have to give it in faith and give it in the right place as God directs us. Whether it be local church, whether it be the five-fold ministry, wherever the Spirit of God, Lake Hamilton, wherever God tells us. How many know He's still speaking? Amen? Hallelujah. And also, you know, of course, you know, in the natural, we know that money, there's power in money in the natural. We know people use that the wrong way. But it's also a form of testing. The way you and I handle money is a mark, either good, come on, or bad on our integrity. And I can tell you, this place has been checked out at times. And you got a good record. Hallelujah. That means a lot. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. He said, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, God will not commit to you the true riches. Now look at the next verse. Somebody read it for me. I got my Bible closed.
And if you have not been faithful in that which is
If you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give what? You, which is your own. Praise God. How many know you're tested in serving somebody else? Faithful in something that is not yours. Administering something of another or someone else's. Who gets the credit? Come on. Who gets the profit? Who gets the glory? His name is Jesus. Or whoever you're, even in the natural, you're working for. How many of you got that attitude? God will smile upon you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We learn to rule by learning to serve. Serve others. I mean, we need to come back to this in the body of Christ and learn to serve others. Amen? Otherwise, there's no promotion. People are being cheated out of their inheritance because they will not serve. You know, some churches are running over with those who serve. Hear me. Their motives are right. Their attitude's right. Their purpose is right. There's humility before God. Many have helped ministries. How many thank God for that? Man that taught me in Bible college, you know what they used to do? There was a lady who used to go and stand there in England during the war, stand in line for food or food stamps, I forget which it was, for him and his family. Every day, standing long lines for them because she had a help ministry. How many know we need some help ministry in the church?
Amen.
In every place. Come on. Amen. Be thankful for them. And I thank God for those that I know in the body that have that ministry. Amen. But you see, then there's other churches and other groups and other places. Nobody wants to serve anybody or do anything for anybody. I mean, no, that's selfishness. If we're going to be chief, come on, we've got to also be servant of all. And I want to tell you, he wants you and I tonight to be faithful to him, to Jesus. And brethren, if you're faithful, you will be rewarded. Amen? Maybe not even in this life, but you will be rewarded. We're to think of others more than ourselves. Come on. And we're to do for others. And when we have that concept, I tell you, blessings are at your side. Can you say amen? Praise God. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those that are here tonight that are not only called, not only chosen, but they are faithful unto you. Father, I thank you for your blessing to be upon your people who have committed themselves, spirit, soul, and body to you and made you Lord of their lives. Forgive us tonight of all unfaithfulness, Lord, in any area. Speak to us tonight, Lord, through this message. Hallelujah. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be wise servants. Help us to be those that will feed the people, not beat the people. Let us not be cruel. Lord, let us walk in your love. Forgive us for all cruelty. Forgive us for anything that we have said and done in this life, Lord, that we've hurt anyone in the church or in our families. Wash us in your blood. And forgive us. We judge our hearts tonight, Lord, as a people. Forgive us, Lord, for being the accuser, the slanderer, the whisperer, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Wash us tonight in the blood of Jesus. We come against everything that does not uplift and uphold the name of Jesus. Help us to be faithful. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for the ministries here tonight, that you would strengthen every ministry, whether he be an apostle, a prophet, teacher, shepherd, or an evangelist. Lord, that you would pour out your spirit upon this one or that one, Lord, in the body of Christ, that they might be strengthened at this time, Lord God, to let them know that they are loved and that they are in the beloved. Hallelujah. Lord, pour your blessings upon the ministers and the people of God here tonight that are walking in faithfulness. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless Glenn and Irma. Lord, the toll, the labor, the work that they have done in this place. And we pray for their strength and their health. And we pray, Lord, that you would use them still in a mighty way in the days ahead. Anoint them, O God, and speak to and through them. Father, we pray for Brother Jack that couldn't be here this weekend. We lift up Brother Harris. We ask you to touch Jack and his family, his fellowship in Texas, Lord. We bless you and we thank you for Brother Jack. And all the ministries that are here this time, we bless the ministries, Lord, and their families. And we ask your blessing upon them. Father, we pray for David and Linda as they've come from Illinois. And we thank you for David, Lord, and the fellowship that David has there. And we pray, Father, for him and for Linda that you would use them in that area in a mighty way. Father God, we just come against all opposition. We stand against the works of the enemy. And we speak life to them and to their fellowship and to the people of God there in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's raise our hands and praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now tonight I want to pray against anyone that's been hurt by other ministries or people. How many know we have to forgive those that hurt us? We have to forgive them. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I lift up the name of Jesus. I praise you for bringing me to this camp. Lord Jesus, I submit to you tonight, the head of the church, my Lord. I ask, Father, that you would forgive those who have hurt me and who have hurt me deeply. I forgive them. I speak blessing on them and not a curse. And now in the name of Jesus, I break the power of the curse, of the hurts, of the suffering, of the wounded spirit. I command it to loose me and all the hurts with it. And go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and let her go. Come on, let her go. All the hurts and all the bitterness. Come on, let her go. Forgive that person or persons in the name of Jesus. Just let her go. Take a deep breath and let her go in Jesus' name. And forgive. Choose to forgive. Hallelujah. Turn your back on the hurts and turn your face to Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray for Irma tonight. Irma, would you come up? Hallelujah. Just keep in the spirit with me. I just want to pray. Oh, Father, I pray for Irma tonight, Lord. I ask you to minister life to Irma tonight. Father God, all the wounds and hurts, I just pray for her now. Oh, that you would heal, Lord God, her inner man tonight. I pray and lift her up before you, Lord, and I thank you for this vessel. God, you have used her so many times here, Lord, and many places. And I just ask, Father, you would minister your love and your life to her tonight. But those hurts, those deep hurts and wounds, I ask, Lord, that you would heal tonight. Pour in the oil and the wine, my Father. Let the holy oil of God and the love of Jesus just wash out, Lord God, all those hurts and deep-seated things, Lord God. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And I bless Irma, Lord. I bless her hearing. I bless her eyes to see and her heart to understand. And I bless her walk life, Lord. And I pray much encouragement for her tonight. And Glenn, Jesus, as well. And I ask you to overshadow her and put your mighty power upon her in this hour, Lord, for this day. And I thank you for new strength, new vigor, new vitality and energy for the days ahead, Father. And Father, I break down and come against every stronghold that's come against Irma. And I loose her tonight in the mighty name, the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, sometimes prayer is just as effective as prophetic words. I mean, no, we all need prayer. Hallelujah. Praise you. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise Jesus. Brother, I believe the Lord gave this to me earlier that there's coming an explosion in your area.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost explosion.
Oh,
and God wants you to expect it and believe it because it's coming.
Hallelujah.
And it's not going to come the way in the natural you're going to think, but it's going to come the way God says it'll be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God says you believe it and you'll see it. There'll be a performance of this spiritual explosion that will come your way. And God's going to do a mighty work there in finances, in the building program, and in the people's hearts. God is going to change people. Lord, I lift up my brother right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father. He has an ear to hear the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And Lord, I believe in the name of Jesus that spiritual explosion will take place. And any discouragement, Lord, I just rebuke it from him. And I speak life to my brother. In the mighty name of Jesus. And I bless him, Lord. Amen.
Thank you. Thank
you. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody have a word of the Lord? Just obey the Holy Ghost. If you got a prophetic word, obey the Holy Ghost tonight. If you have a prophetic word from God, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Koryasi kadabrasotaya. Wait before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're going into the marriage feast. How many know the marriage feast is going on right now? Did you know that? I said it's going on right now. That intimacy with Jesus is going on now. There'll be a consummation of it, but it's going on now. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a word? From the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, I've enjoyed sharing tonight. May the Lord bless you. And Lord, we lift up, before Bill comes, we lift up again the meeting tomorrow. The meetings tomorrow. And we thank you for everyone that will be here, Lord, and the ministry that you've sent to bless your people. And Lord, as the people leave this camp meeting this week in, God, we just pray they'll take the great news back to their fellowships and places where they've come from. Let the good news spread, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. By the words of the Lord, we are able to stand. He reigneth forever, and his words are eternal. He has made his appeal. I made overcomers by the words of the Lord. We are able to stand. He reigneth forever, and his words are eternal. He has made his appearance, and he's coming again. Oh, let's sing it tonight. By the words of the Lord, we are made overcomers.
by the words of the Lord. We are able to stand. He reigneth forever, and his words are eternal. He has made his appearance, and is coming again, and is coming again, and is coming again.
Father, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst these days. We thank you for the Shekinah glory of the Holy Ghost to flow and move amongst your people. Father, as we've gathered together to give praise and worship unto thee and to receive your word and to hide it in our heart, we may be faithful stewards of that which you've committed unto us. Father, that we may be a servant to say, well done, good and faithful. Help us, Father, to be those that are faithful. And Father, give us a good night's rest. Return us, Father, in the morning to praise and to worship you, to come and to be early, and to be prayer warriors and intercessors. The kingdom of God may stand forth, and that men may know that Jesus rules and reigns in the hearts and lives of his people, because he rules and reigns in our lives and our hearts here. We thank you for your parents and being here in the morning when they come to pray, that you're here before they get here. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.